理课堂听 class.com。
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Go beneath the waves into the deep blue sea for a night of deep sleep.Hello, listeners. This is Bill Quinn, your host for Advanced Studio Classroom, and we're happy to have you with us today listening to our program about extreme hotels. Our article starts on page 28 in Advanced Magazine, and we've spent the past couple of days talking about some extreme hotels. Well, joining me in the studio are panelists Angela and Ethan. Hello, Angela.
Hello, Bill, and hello, listeners. If you haven't heard us over the past 2 days, then I'll tell you about the tree houses in southern India. We call that living the high life because the rooms are actually built up in the limbs of these, 26 meters above the ground. That's how high these rooms are, so you can go there and have an eco-friendly getaway in southern India.
Well, that was an interesting article for August 18th as far as the tree houses. And you can go to the website and learn more about it and taking an elevator basket up to the tree house and climbing around and being in the jungle. That was fascinating. And then we went to the ice hotel in Sweden.
That's right. We went to a place called Jukkasjärvi, and we found out about the ice hotel where they use these blocks of ice and they build the entire hotel, the beds, the furniture, everything out of ice.
Ethan, we were talking yesterday about staying a night at the ice hotel. Would you be interested in doing that?
I would definitely be interested, although it would be very cold, so I'm sure I would have to be careful what I packed for clothing. I'd have enough clothing, but I would be very interested to go and see the northern lights and just the beauty of the snow and the ice of that area. I'm sure it would be very beautiful.
Well, we had talked about, in our first day, boring predictability. That's a term from the beginning of our article. Mm-hmm. And, Angela, you had put boring predictability in there because of?
Well, yes, Bill. I wrote this article, and I used that term. And in the same sentence, you'll know, I say the boring predictability of international hotel chains.You see, it's like you can be in India, you can be in Sweden, and you can be in Florida and stay in a chain hotel, and they're basically the same wherever you are. So that's why it's a boring predictability.
Right, and we're trying to get away from the boring predictability, and we've got three tremendous options here as far as putting some excitement in your life. You might maybe want to do it for one night. I don't know if you're going to do it for a week or two, but...
Well, our readers will notice that this is a travel article. And usually with travel, we feature destinations as the attraction. But in this case, I wrote the title to be Extreme Hotels Are the Attraction. Because you go to these places to enjoy the hotels as much as the scenery and the environment.
I would say to our listeners, a realistic expectation on this would be to...combine a night in one of these hotels along with a trip. For instance, if you go to India, maybe make it one night. Or if you go to Sweden, it would be part of maybe a cruise or another trip in the whole region. The hotel might not be your complete destination, but it might be one stop along the way. And today, we've got another stop.
Yes, we're going to go to Florida, to a place called Florida's Key Largo, and we'll visit an underwater hotel.
Well, why don't we go underwater right now?
Deep sleep. Beneath the waves of the Emerald Lagoon in Florida's Key Largo Undersea Park sits the world's only underwater hotel, Jules Undersea Lodge. Entry to this steel and acrylic hotel requires the guest to don scuba gear,and dive down to their room 21 feet beneath sea level. Go on, take the plunge. If you have never dived before, a certified instructor will provide a 3-hour introductory class, then accompany you to your room. An overnight stay in the lodge, which is actually a renovated maritime research lab, offers you more than a chance to sleep underwater. Through 3 42-inch round windows, you can watch tropical angelfish, barracuda, parrotfish, sponges, anemones, and other features of reef life. Set at the bottom of a mangrove lagoon, the lodge has 2 bedrooms, a kitchenette, dining and entertainment area, and a wet room chamber. The wet room provides the restroom and the lodge's entrance through a moon pool in its floor. The luxury package, popular with many newlyweds, includes gourmet dinners prepared by a mer chef who dives down to prepare and serve the meal.
Deep sleep. Angela, you started out with deep sleep. You're the writer. What does deep sleep mean?
Well, you know how it is. When you think of the ocean and the sea, you think about deep, the depths of the ocean. And the whole idea of staying in a lodge or a hotel is to have a place to sleep. So it's the idea of sleeping in the deep.
You have several play on words in this article, which I love. You talk about going out on a limb and a bird's eye view, and now we've got deep sleep, so you've worked several of these in. And we're beneath the waves of the Emerald Lagoon. What's lagoon, Ethan?
Well, a lagoon is an area of seawater separated from the sea by a line of rocks or sand, and we will often talk about it. It looks similar to a lake a lot of the times, but it's seawater, and it's usually very near the ocean.
I believe we talked about lagoon in an article previously about Tahiti, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And these areas, they are very common in areas where there's volcano or lots of little islands because the islands can separate it off from the rest of the ocean.
And another feature of lagoons is the fact that they act like a nursery, a breeding ground for the fish and other sea creatures.
Mm-hmm. And usually the water is going to be calm inside the lagoon. Well, we go on to read that Florida's Key Largo Undersea Park is the world's only underwater hotel, Jules Undersea Lodge. Mm-hmm. And who is Jules?
Well, we have an information box there to tell us. Jules. This lodge is named for Jules Verne, who was a science fiction writer. His most popular book, in my estimation, was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
They've actually made that book into a movie on several occasions. I don't know if you've seen 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I've seen a couple of different versions of that movie, and it's really kind of a fantasy. And so it kind of makes you actually you watch the movie and think, boy, that would be really neat to maybe be in one of these submarines or to live under the sea and watch the fish and all the other aquatic animals down there.
Right. Well, that's the whole idea here is that sleeping under the water is nothing unusual for those people who've traveled in submarines, but to actually have a hotel, a place where guests can reserve the room and go there to stay, is something that makes this place unique.
A couple of months ago, our readers and listeners might remember we did an article on James Cameron, and he talked about that he enjoyed diving down to the deep and explained some of why he likes that. And he talked about that it was like a whole brand new world that hadn't been explored. And I think that's some of the idea that we get here in the excitement to go somewhere like that, because you're going down into a world that has not been explored as much as being up on the Earth itself.
Well, we have to go down to this hotel. How do we get down to the hotel?
Well, it is under the water, so a person has to put on scuba gear. We say don scuba gear. They just put it on to wear it and dive down to their room.
Well, you normally don't have to dive to your hotel room, so. And I believe, Angela, we were talking about during a break that you actually dive down and underneath the hotel. The hotel is actually elevated off of the floor of the sea by 7 feet. So that's how you enter?
That's right. You know, because this is a lagoon, the water here is not extremely deep. You just have to dive down 21 feet below sea level, and then you go under this the lodge itself, which is sort of like a capsule down there sitting on the floor of the lagoon, and you come up in underneath into an open chamber, and that's the entrance to the lodge.
Well, I like your play on words also in line 29. I had underlined, take the plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's kind of a double meaning here because we're talking about take the plunge. You want to dive into the mm-hmm. water. But also, what can take the plunge mean, Ethan?
Well, I like this. This is very similar to going out on a limb. Taking a plunge means that you're putting yourself at risk. You're going to go ahead and do something that might be a little different or a little risky, but you're going to go ahead and do it. But we also talk about plunge when we talk about you going into entering water. You often say that you took a plunge into the water. So it's another very clever play on words here.
Well, again, I want to give credit to whom credit is due. We have a team of excellent editors and writers here on staff. So although I wrote the article, this particular phrase I recall was suggested by Gareth, who critiqued and helped me to polish up this article. As for the rest of these play on words, I can't remember which ones I put in and which ones he put in, but it is always a collaborative effort for our staff.
Well, we have so many idioms and play on words in the English language. Take the plunge. I'm thinking of often you will hear people say that about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to say, well, I'm going to take the plunge, which is kind of a funny meaning, but
right.
Somebody would take the plunge to get married.
Well, it just means that there's an unknown element and it's a bit of a risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to be taking too many risks at the Jules Lodge because we have certified trainers that will mm-hmm. help you to learn scuba and go down to it. And then we see on page 30 about an overnight stay in the lodge, which is actually a renovated maritime research lab.
I thought this was an interesting aspect because it was originally built to be a research station. The scientists were able to – they wanted a place to live and to stay in order to observe the aquatic life in the lagoon. So that was its original use.
I want to highlight the word maritime here. We often talk about things to do with water and under the water. We will talk about maritime, or a marina is where you store ships or you harbor ships when they're in. So that mare part is often referred to when talking about water.
Right. And then if you went down there, what would you do? Angela, would you sit and watch TV?
Well, you can because they have videos. They have an entertainment center with music
okay.
to listen to. In fact, this might be a good time to tell our listeners that this lodge is connected to an office on shore where all of the conditions within the lodge are monitored constantly by a computer and a staff person sitting there to make sure that the connections are not broken and that there's adequate air supply and electricity and everything is working well.
Well, I think, one, they need to take care of their customers, the people
yeah.
staying there, and make sure that nothing happens that would possibly threaten them. But I think also a system like that is set up in place maybe to just even give them peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
to give the people that are staying there peace of mind. Okay, mm-hmm. I can feel more comfortable because a lot of people might be afraid of this, of actually staying underneath mm-hmm. the water overnight and sleeping. But I don't know if I'd be watching TV. I can see in line 4 that there are 3 42-inch round windows. And what can you see out of these windows, Ethan?
Well, it says you can see all sorts of fish. There's tropical angelfish, barracuda, parrotfish, sponges, anemones, and other features of reef life. So it sounds like a very fascinating, almost a display that you could watch right through the front window.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a couple of our specialized terms. They're barracuda and anemones, and these are just simply some of the sea creatures that you can see out through these windows. It would be fascinating to watch all of these animals swimming by.
Well, for example, if you and a group of your friends are staying there, then someone can stay inside with a camera and take pictures of the rest of you out there scuba diving and posing for pictures right outside the window.
Well, I would like to do the scuba diving part. I think that would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on to see that it's set at the bottom of a mangrove lagoon. We've already talked about lagoon, but what about mangrove?
Well, mangrove is a tropical tree found near water, and the twisted roots grow partly above the water and partly in it.
I learned something very interesting about mangroves because of the twisted roots, and they grow in tropical areas near the water. And mangroves actually were credited with saving some areas in Asia here from the tsunami last year, because they're such a strong tree and the roots are so strong that areas, particularly in Thailand and Bangladesh, where they did have these mangroves, they actually served the purpose of preserving the shoreline and actually breaking up the tsunami to protect the people. So these mangroves are very strong trees.
And also they are part, their roots are actually part of what provides the habitat for these young sea creatures, the fish and such, to hide in while they're growing.
And then we see that there's the kitchenette, dining and entertainment area, and a wet room chamber. And I believe, Angela, you told me what that was, right?
Well, the wet room chamber is the place where you enter. It's the entrance. And it includes, there's a hole in the floor. They call it a moon pool because it's round, like the shape of a moon. And the diver comes up from the bottom inside the chamber into this vacuum area, and that's where then they can take off their wetsuit, and that area also has the restroom.
So it needs to be set up, your entrance area needs to be set up almost like a bell, so there is like an air pocket there, or else you'd end up flooding the whole hotel. And then we move on to see, as far as eating, what do we do about eating, Ethan?
Well, here it says that if you order the luxury package, and this is popular with many newlyweds, it includes gourmet dinners prepared by a mer chef who dives down to prepare and serve the meal. Now, that sounds like a good part of the deal for me, Bill.
Oh, what is a mer chef?
Well, you know, instead of a mermaid or a merman, you have the chef. That's a mer chef. I'm sure he's cooking
now,
fish.
Does he or she have a tail if they come down there?
I have no idea. But if you don't want to get the luxury package, I think you can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in your kitchenette.
Or that, or I think you have to go out and catch your own fish. You have to catch dinner.
That's right. And Angela mentioned the word kitchenette, and we talked about that it's one of the rooms. This is not a full kitchen. It's only a small area. There's probably a sink and maybe a microwave or a toaster. There isn't going to be a full stove or a way for you can cook, but you can still prepare small meals or snacks down in that.
You'll actually see kitchenette in the description of many apartments here in Asia, maybe a smaller apartment with maybe just a bedroom, a bathroom, and it'll say, and a kitchenette. It's just a smaller area for you to be able to prepare food. Well, we've got our second reading coming up, and let's learn more about some other undersea development.
What's next? Plans for construction of bigger and more luxurious underwater hotels currently lack sufficient funding. Bruce Jones, a submarine designer for 17 years, envisions Poseidon Undersea Resort, a luxury hotel submerged 50 feet under the sea near the Bahaman island of Eleuthera. Rather than diving down, guests will enter the hotel via an escalator. Jones expects Poseidon to be ready for business in 2006, providing he can float his idea to backers. If not, Poseidon may be scuttled like many other similar schemes. For the time being, Jules rules the underwater hotel market.
Currently, Jules Undersea Lodge is the only undersea lodge in the world. But there are plans on the drawing board to build other undersea hotels. And in fact, it was an article about this Poseidon Undersea Resort that Doris received, and she gave to me and said, we need an article about this for our listeners.
Well, it's going to be a bigger undersea hotel in the Bahamas. And Poseidon, for our listeners that may not know, Poseidon is an ancient Greek god, is the god of the sea. So often you will see Poseidon tied in with a name of something that's in the sea. And then it's going to be a luxury hotel submerged. And what does submerged mean, Ethan?
Well, if something is submerged, it is placed underneath something else. And usually we talk about something being submerged in water. It's buried or put underneath water.
And this is going to be in the Bahamas. I've actually been to the Bahamas on a couple of cruises there. And you mentioned something, Angela, during the break. We were talking about this hotel getting funding and maybe safety and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think in the Bahamas there's hurricanes.
Yes, there are. Here in Asia, we have typhoons, and these storms are called hurricanes in the Gulf. And so that would be something that would need to be considered as plans are being made to build an undersea resort.
Well, you certainly want to make it safe, and there would be strict restrictions on that. And I would think the bigger you get on one of these undersea hotels, the more complicated it would get. We wouldn't have to dive down to the Poseidon Hotel. How would we get there, Ethan?
Well, it says guests will enter the hotel via an escalator. And to me, that sounds a little more attractive. I don't know if I'd want to have to put out the effort and to dive down. And then whenever I wanted to go out and do something, I'd have to dive and come back up. Sounds like a lot of work. To me, I'd just rather get on a moving stairway or an escalator.
Yeah, it's a lot more, lot simpler than going down to Jules Lodge and having to get scuba gear on.
Well, and another difference that this makes is the, what do they call it, the pressurization, because anything that's completely submerged, like Jules Undersea Lodge, has to, they have to keep the pressure in there, whereas the, by being connected by way of the escalator to the air, then you have this, it's naturally pressurized.
Right, so you wouldn't have to worry about descending at a certain speed and some of the things that happen if you are scuba diving, if you come up too quickly or go down.
Right.
So, and having problems with the oxygen.
But all of that has to be considered in the design and the construction of this undersea resort, because it has to, the construction of the building, if you want to call it that, has to withstand then the water pressure that will be pressing in upon it.
Mm. And then we see another play on words here that you've worked in there. Angela is in line four. And Jones expects Poseidon to be ready for business in 2006, providing he can float his ideas to backers.
Well, again, I must say Gareth recommended this one and the next vocabulary focus word. Gareth is really, I think, a genius in terms of coming up with these kinds of play on words. And the word here, float, is a verb. We often think of it as, you know, floating on water. Well, here it's actually talking about this man selling his idea and getting people to invest.
Right. In the business environment, we might say, well, I'm going to float this idea up to the board and see if they go with that. And then we've got another vocabulary word, Ethan.
Yes. We say if he can't float it, if they don't accept, they don't think it's a worthwhile investment, Poseidon may be scuttled like many other similar schemes. And this is a term that means to give up a plan or activity or to spoil or destroy something. And often we talk about when you destroy a boat that you scuttled the boat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, often you will see that with a boat that they might sink. To purposely sink, they'll say, we're going to scuttle this ship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a couple of new travelers going on a trip through the Florida Keys, so let's listen in.
Tony and Richard are headed to the Florida Keys. They just landed at Miami International Airport and picked up their rental car.
Whew! I just love this Florida weather.
Yeah, it sure is nice to leave the cold and snow of Sweden and come here for some fun in the sun.
Why don't we stop by South Beach on our way to the Keys, Richard? I heard it's the place to be in Miami.
Only for the afternoon, Tony. South Beach is a little too fancy for me. I'm looking forward to the natural beauty of the Florida Keys.
First place we can go is John Pennekamp State Park in Key Largo to do some snorkeling. The coral reefs are fantastic there. Key Largo is the diving capital of Florida.
Hey, I've got my snorkeling and scuba gear ready. There's also several sunken ships around Key Largo. They're great places to see the tropical fish that make their home in the Keys.
And we're even staying a night at Jules Undersea Lodge. What a great way to see the aquatic life.
You know, the drive down through the Keys is spectacular. I checked out the map. U.S. Route 1 is literally a two-lane bridge that skips and hops between the islands. Down by Marathon Key is Seven Mile Bridge. A seven-mile bridge. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's the longest segmented bridge in the world. Driving through the Keys, you get the impression that you're driving on water the whole time, with boats all around you.
Did you know there are deer in the Keys?
Dear, you've got to be kidding me. Like, in the mountains overlooking Sweden?
Big Pine Key, just below Marathon, is home to a refuge for key deer. Key deer are these small deer that are about the size of a large dog.
Hey, that's cool. Miniature deer. What's really going to be cool is Key West, the southernmost point in the continental United States. There's a landmark there that we have to get our picture taken by. Everybody does it.
Well, I think we've got plenty of things to do. Our problem will be just finding enough time to do it all. Well, these guys sure are going to see a lot in the Florida Keys. I have actually had the opportunity to travel along the Florida Keys on several occasions. I've been to Key Largo, and I've actually been all the way down to Key West. But when I was in Key Largo, I didn't know about Jules Lodge.
I'm not sure how long it's been open to guests, Bill. So maybe you visited there before they had this as a lodge.
Well, it was a research station for many years. So I don't know. I'd have to check the website out. So I would recommend that everybody do check all these websites out.
Yes, and I would also recommend that you check out our website, the advanced portion of thestudioclassroom.com, and there we have discussion questions. You can join the English Corner discussion on this article, or you can watch the topic talks and watch the different panelists and different Studio Classroom staff as we discuss more and teach more about the different vocabulary and points in this article.
Well, stick with Advanced Magazine, and we will take you all around the world. It is your window on the world. This month we've been to Tahiti, India, Sweden, and the Florida Keys. So stick with us for adventure and some ideas for some travel. Well, that's about it for today's show. This is Bill,
Ethan,
and Angela.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.